Hello, hello. Welcome to Listen to Love. My name is Julia Pieper. I'm a yoga teacher trainer, massage therapist, and empowerment coach. I created Listen to Love to connect you to your inner voice of love. We all know it. So often in our everyday life, we listen to this inner voice of fears, insecurities, doubt, and whatever unpleasant thing there is going on inside of you. And that's why I find it so healthy to create this channel to really tune you on this frequency, this inner frequency of love.
Listen to the wind and listen to the water, hear what they say. Listen to the wind and listen to the water, hear what they say.
This episode is all about the art of letting go. I feel so blessed to talk to my dear friend Rachel Singh today. We are sitting here in Ericeira in Portugal on her sofa, and we will talk about our personal experience and how our spiritual practice has been helping us integrating these experiences of loss and letting go. In my friend's case, that was letting go of a baby that she was carrying in her belly. And in my case, it was letting go of someone that I thought would be the man of my life, but also letting go of someone that really was playing the role of a father in my life. It was my grandfather, but he was really, really close, and how our practices have been helping us with these experiences. So yeah, this is for you if you feel like there is something that you're letting go. Maybe even can be an idea that you're letting go. It can be some experiences that I just was talking about. But yeah, it can be also something that is just related to it. So welcome, Rachel. Welcome
you.
To Listen to Love.
Thank you so much for having me here. I feel honored, so grateful.
Yes. So for all the people that come to my podcast, I have like this beautiful opening question that I would like to ask you, which is, when was the last time in your life that you consciously listened to this inner voice of love? Because we have these voices of fear, doubt, insecurity that sometimes linger around in our head or in our experiences. When was the last time that you consciously or that you really listened to this inner voice of love? Which moment?
Yes, even before this podcast, because before I started this podcast, I have a very strong practice, which is connecting to that inner voice, but through prayer, through connection, through specific prayers that I use. And they are really there intentionally to help me connect with this, you could call it this inner voice of love. So it can speak through me, move through me, create through me. So actually on a daily basis, I have this connection, and I intentionally connect with the prayer, so it can allow this endless force of love to move through me. So yeah, every day, every morning, every morning, with everything I do, everything I start, I make that intention.
And yeah, you have just been starting your day in a similar way that I am always starting my days. Unfortunately, today it was not aligned to do it together, but that will be in another moment, which is dipping in the ocean, right?
Yes.
And yeah, I think that's also like a way of really connecting yourself spiritually to this higher force. The ocean for me is such a feminine and strong energy. The waves that are coming and the waves that are going and that are carrying so much power, but softness in the same time, as it's like really a flow. And yeah, the ocean is moved by the moon. Like for me, it's like really how the tide is moved by the moon, just as we are like as women with our cycle influenced by this force. So I haven't really introduced yourself yet. I wanted to introduce you, but now I feel like it's even maybe more aligned that you introduce yourself and then we jump right into our conversation.
Mm-hmm. So introduce myself. I'm Rachel Singh. I am a vocal coach. As they would say, this is the craft that I share with people is to help people connect with their voice as a tool, not just for singing, but really for them to connect with their own divine essence,
mm-hmm.
which we can all connect to in our own ways. And as we already opened this conversation, I use metaphysical tools in combination with the voice. My practice is mantra. I also practice according to the Tree of Life. So really using different ancient wisdom practices from as well East and West and seeing the correlation between them. And mainly focusing on the sounds and the sacred sounds that can help us elevate, right? Mm-hmm. Elevate beyond all the things that we experience in life, which can be very intense and very mm-hmm. heavy. And so, yeah, this is also the purpose of this podcast, is to share a little bit about my story when it comes to that. And how these tools have so much supported me mm-hmm. on this path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my journey. It's allowing people to connect with what has always been there,
mm-hmm.
but just I am a channel for helping people remember mm-hmm. what has always been here with us.
And that's so natural. That's so organic. I feel like that's nothing that is so out of this world. It's just so sometimes I think for people when they hear like about spiritual practices, and so I think many people that are very grounded in their everyday life, they get maybe a little bit afraid that they would lose touch to mm-hmm. their work or their partners or their surroundings.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important to highlight that this is all these practices are just so natural and they're so organic. And
yeah.
I would be excited to hear a little bit more of your personal experience, how when that happened, that you lost this baby, how and how you could anchor yourself in your spiritual practice and in your trust. I guess it's a lot about finding trust again and healing the heart, basically, right?
Yes, and we're talking about loss, but loss is an indication of something missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the practices are there to help us remember we are whole.
Mm-hmm,
no
mm-hmm.
matter what happens to us, if mm-hmm. we lose someone or something, it is the essence of the soul of this eternal
mm-hmm.
essence that's here living, moving through us. That's always whole. It can never lose
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm.
It can never lose anyone or anything. And that's very beautiful words, but how to actually practice that,
mm-hmm.
how to actually embody that, mm-hmm. right? And
how to really believe that.
How to really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens when you connect with these type of metaphysical tools that I use is that you can start to zoom out
mm-hmm.
very easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the story is there. Obviously, it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
You experience the trauma. You experience so much of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But you can zoom out and mm-hmm. see all the strands that are connected to that one experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that one experience was connected to my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
to my mother,
mm-hmm.
to my father, my biological father,
mm-hmm.
abandoning my mother when I was a baby, you
mm-hmm.
know, all very subconscious traumas, subconscious
mm-hmm.
that are just there in
mm-hmm.
the womb,
mm-hmm.
right? Literally
stored.
Mm-hmm. And we live in a world where we don't have the tools,
mm-hmm.
we don't have the time,
mm-hmm.
we don't have the environment or the community that can help us go deeper than the story, right? So that's also why I can talk about it now, because obviously it's a very traumatic experience. But I've released the tears, I've released the pain, I've released all of the darkness and the shadow that was attached to that experience through the practice and through this time that I had, right? Because it I took 2 months off. I said, okay, I'm this is terrible. Mm-hmm. What's happening to me right now? How can I move through it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was to be with it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so simple, but we don't allow ourselves
because we are
we
not,
distract ourselves.
We are also
so much.
Not so trained to just be. We are like human beings in a way. But I was saying that in the last podcast episode with Byron, that we are human beings, not human doings.
Yeah.
And then we just taking our time to allow ourselves to feel. So oftentimes we don't do that. I mean, people just work and then they do holiday.
Yeah.
And then in their holiday, they don't really want to go deep. That's why I think it's also important that to mention that in our retreat, it's going to be very deep work.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be light and joyful. And it's not just like connecting to the dark sides, but allowing ourselves to feel and let the feelings out and integrate them.
And come into that expanded place because healing is not, it's not just crying and screaming. Yeah. It is this joyful experience.
Yeah.
I see this time as I'm actually grateful, you know. It sounds maybe a bit crazy to say it, but what I've learned from it and how it helped me see so many things that I was so unaware of.
In my case, it's the same. Yeah. Wow.
I'm grateful for this experience. I'm grateful for this being that came for this short amount of time to show me so many things that I was so unaware of, you know? And we need those spaces. We need those containers. We need those teachers. We need to bring it out. We need the voice and the practices to allow it to come to the surface. And like you said, we go on holiday, we read a book in our holiday, but I think that's what we're definitely gonna offer, is those questions and those tools that go a little bit underneath those layers. And at the same time, in my womb cave, there was a lot of dancing. In those 2 months, there was a lot of singing. There was so much joy. There was so much love. There was like, I was just massaging and being with my body in ways I'd never been with my body before, you know?
Yeah.
And my partner also, you know, learning how to be there for me in those times. And that, it's so, it's like you say, it's all light. Even in the pain, there's light, but we approach this healing as a celebration as well. It's a big celebration.
For sure.
So
it is definitely
so unimaginable for people to understand when they go through something so painful, but so maybe, also for you, like you're saying yes. I want to know.
I have so much deep resonance there. And just when you were saying about the dancing thing, I remember very quickly after the breakup, I turned on this music by Fia. And it's like, the song is called Rising in Love. And I remember I was dancing through my apartment, and it's the lyrics is, I know that I'm worthy of it all. And now it's, I think it's so often connected to this letting go and loss. I mean, in your case, for sure as well. But also if you are suffering from a heartbreak, is this feeling of unworthiness, this feeling of,
I don't know, like, why do I deserve this? Why did this come to me? Maybe I'm not worthy of the love that I feel like I deserve. Like, maybe I don't deserve it. Like, this question, the whole questioning of your own being and worthiness. And that was so beautiful that you opened this, this conversation by saying, first was like to really understand on a deeper level that you are already complete, because so often we think that we are only complete if we have, I mean, as a woman, if we give birth, if we have kids, or as, also like, I think there's so much stigma in our relationship that says that, or like in our relationship to life and in society that says you're only worthy if you have a partner. But actually, for me, also embracing, that's the next step after a heartbreak, is embracing being by myself and being fulfilled and feeling complete just in that way. And that is magnetic. Uh-huh. I always have the feeling when I'm in that state, like men are coming like mosquitoes, like, honestly, you know, when like I'm not chasing.
Like bees to the honey.
Yes. Yeah. And they like, I'm like, okay, this is getting really intense, but... I'm not chasing.
It's so
the
true.
Experience.
Yeah, what you say, as so many women can relate, is such an experience that is, everybody feels this. It's like you go, your body is not able to do something, you know? And the first thought that comes is, am I good enough?
Yeah.
And I'm not able to give birth. Am I now less than, you know? Exactly. Oh, my body is not working. Whatever health problem we're going through, we feel shame.
Yeah.
It's directly connected to shame of like, my body's not functioning the way it should, you know? And we carry that shame and we don't talk about it and we don't share about it because it's like an insult on who you are, of like, wow, okay, they can, but I can't. And you start to compare and like feel like this, all this stuff of like not enough. And that's so beautiful again, because it's, again, it points you to this place of like, wow, all right. So there is, there is a disconnect, right? There is something that in me alive that is needs healing. It needs healing. It needs love. It needs attention. It needs care. And that's simply what it's showing you, but it's never outside of yourself. And you have to come into that place where you go deep enough inside to find it again.
Yeah.
To fully, like you say, you're dancing on the music.
Embrace
you're
that.
Like, wow, I feel so whole.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, wow, I feel this pain and my body's not responding the way I want. And then I realized there is... a deeper story of my womb that needs listening, that needs care. And wow, we can record another podcast just on this,
just about the womb,
just on the womb and the connection of the voice with the womb. And
well, these chakras, like Svadhisthana chakra, is like so closely connected to our throat chakra, like
so
our sexual
close.
Chakra just is so intertwined with the voice.
And yes.
It's so interesting. Like also these boundaries things that so many women are not really able to even know what they want sexually. You know?
Yeah.
And then they, how can they express it? Mm-hmm. And that's why I was working so much during this time with my Manipura chakra also, with this willpower chakra right above the navel.
Yeah.
So doing practices that the cats like affirm that they just confirm the important stuff they highlighted
stuff,
to really connect through the yoga practice with that. And that's why for me it's so helpful to do core, like integrate a lot of core
exercises yeah. into my yoga practice, because they help me to really connect to my willpower. What is it what I really, really want? And mm-hmm. that helps me to like, what is it, what do I want to feel in my, in the experience of my life, of my relationships? And how can I express this? This is how it's all interconnected in a way, yeah. you know, that's so beautiful. Yeah. And I love the way of how you speak about this feeling whole. I mean, of course, when I was like putting up the music and dancing to Fia, like I know that I'm worthy. In that moment, I didn't feel worthy at all. And it was a little bit this approach of fake it until you make it. Mm-hmm. I put the music, I started dancing, and I basically felt like shit starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then through the music, through and then singing, I was like singing with the lyrics and then moving my body. I like slowly came into that deeper understanding on a physical level that I am worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then interestingly, in that time, I was practicing with the practice cards of Elena Brower that are so beautiful. I'm going to bring them to our retreat for sure. You will love them. So every morning I picked one of the cards and they had like this little message. It's like an intention and you can integrate it into your mat. They're like, they look beautiful. They're like small cards and you can just pick one and put it on the front of your mat. So whenever you flow through your flows, you just see it again and again. And interestingly, in that time, I was picking always the same card. And I promise I shuffled them well, right? I really shuffled the cards well. But every morning I was picking the same card. And this card was saying, how can you make your life an internal experience of love and not seek for love outside, but find the love inside? Mm. And okay, the second day I was picking it up and it said the same message as the previous day. I was like, okay, interesting. Never mind. And the third day, every day, like this message. Mm-hmm. At some point I was like, okay, this message is really for me. I really,
yeah.
At some point in my life, I also stopped believing in coincidences so much anymore.
Yes, like, yeah. It's so clear how the universe is talking to us and we simply have to open our eyes and our ears to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important in this process of letting go and grief and these moments of our lives, where if you take the time to listen, to really, really, really listen. And I literally sat there with my womb. I was like, and I was talking to her. I held my hand there and I was like, okay, I'm listening. What do you have to say? And I mm-hmm. asked her mm-hmm. and I really talked to her. And I was like, I'm here. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. It took me all this time to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please forgive me? I'm here now. I'm listening. And I literally, she gave me so many messages that just like, wow, like the element connected to the womb is mm-hmm. also water, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this water that wants to, like a river, come from your womb straight through the throat, and it wants to just like a fountain.
Mm.
It wants to just like wow. open and express and free herself. And I gave her permission yeah. after that very traumatic experience. I said, mm-hmm. you know, if this is where it had to bring us, I'm grateful
mm-hmm.
because I feel I mm-hmm. truly can tune into you and I feel you and I feel the power that you hold. And I was, again, I was talking to my grandmother, to my mother. I went deep into boundaries, mm-hmm. yeah, like sexual energy, where I was leaking,
mm-hmm.
How that played out in my teenage years mm-hmm. and in my 20s, my early 20s, mm-hmm. like not knowing how to
express,
know what's sacred, like really own the sacredness mm-hmm. of this vessel, of this body. And I had no boundaries, literally. Like that's why I'm doing this work after so many years of you know, working on myself.
Yeah,
in my 20s, nobody teaches you.
Nobody teaches you. That's what I was about to say.
And you had to figure out everything
yourself.
You need to
figure it out yourself. You learn them by doing them somehow. Or if you're lucky, you have people around you that you observe. Yeah. Like if you have a mom that has great boundaries and you observe that, and then you can pick it up and repeat. I mean, that's what kids do, how they learn.
Yeah.
But all in all, like, I understand.
And still, we follow our friends. We see things on TV. We have media. We have so many influences.
Yeah.
So it's really, really difficult in those teenage years to tune into that inner voice and listen to what it wants and what it doesn't want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do so many things in those years that we probably, if we were more aware, we wouldn't want. We didn't want. So yes, it's all connected. This voice, this womb, allowing what's really, really the most important part is this, where we hold tension, right? Because that's why the body is incapable of fully being receptive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a woman is receptive energy. She's a receiver of life force. And then through that receiving energy, she manifests, she creates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also the beauty of this work, is like where are the blockages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can, through this opening, this inner flute with your voice, with your sound, with your breath, it's so powerful.
It is.
Everything that's not true, what's in the way. So I'm saying inner flute. This is a saying from my Tantra teacher, Margot Anand. She talks about opening the inner flute. So once you start to walk that path of really feeling the connection from your root chakra all the way up to the crown, from the earth all the way up to spirit, to your intuition, if you're courageous enough to walk that path, you will, everything that's clogged inside that inner flute is going to somehow come to the surface. And you're gonna have to go through that process of healing and release and release. And the best way is through the sound, through this practice. And the breath. Wow. I learned so much about my breath only.
For sure.
Wow. This is the main thing, because we tense. Most of us, we are constantly in this slight state of fight or flight, multiple times a day when we go to work, when something happens. Like, for the lower body to completely open and relax, and the voice to come into that place, for the jaw to relax, all of this.
Yeah,
it's incredibly, it's simple, but it's so profound when you bring
so profound
tiny awarenesses in these areas, just tiny bits.
All these topics are so interconnected, you know, how the voice, it was very interesting for me how you were talking about how you felt the connection when you connected to your womb, how you felt it connected so much to your voice. And I was wondering, did you like do a lot of practices, like obviously singing, but did you also scream, like did like emotional release and in other kind of ways during that, to release the pain in that way?
So there is a technique which is really singing from the womb, which involves quite a strong sound. It's not screaming, because when you scream, you break your vocal cords. So if you scream too much, it's not good for, because the vocal cords are very sensitive. So we need to engage the pelvic floor, engage a lot of the lower body, and create a very strong resonant sound from that place. It's okay. almost like a scream. It's very loud yeah. and it's very powerful.
Mm.
And you can also bring that into your speaking voice mm-hmm. because a lot of us, we like this because we don't have to.
Yeah.
We are afraid to project our sound into the room.
Yeah.
To and take really space. Take it's the about space. Like,
yeah, owning the room.
So way, it's not necessarily it's about screaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking your power back.
Yeah, makes sense.
Reclaiming it's about that. Saying, hey, I gave it away in this, all these areas of my mm-hmm. life. And now I'm going to let my inner water flow. I'm going to take my power back. And I'm just going to stand firmly in that through my expression, through my voice, through everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking it back. And that's the sound mm-hmm. that I love to take people into that experience mm-hmm. where they're like, wow, all my ancestors were singing through me. I've never felt this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never made this sound. That their voice is just completely out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Not even up this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a lot of that. Yeah. A lot of these sounds. Screaming is good, but again, it's not the best for the vocal cords. So mm-hmm. I would be careful with really screaming too much too long. Yeah. You can, because also when we express anger and it's directed to someone, we're in an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. never outside of ourselves, we can bring the energy back and take it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was saying that because it's so interesting to speak about anger in that moment, I think, because anger is also sometimes something that really sits on the heart and that we don't really allow ourselves to express it, especially being a woman.
Yeah.
And I remember that my brother was very angry very often growing up with him. Like he was like having like angry moments and then he was throwing things and kind of my parents kind of accepted it in a way and let him express it.
Okay.
And when I was getting angry, they were like, oh no, like for girls, it's not so accepted in a way. I had this feeling that I was not really having the permission to express it.
Yeah.
And when I felt it, I went into my room and I took the pillow and I was screaming into my pillow, basically. Not I was not doing that super often, but in a moment when I really felt I needed a release.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's not so often that I'm angry, interestingly, because I have the feeling that whenever I'm getting angry, most likely for many years I did that, but now it's still sometimes the pattern, because it's just what you have learned and what you have been doing, is that the anger is translated straight away into sadness.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really feel it so much anymore. In Caparica, since I'm living in Portugal, I'm sometimes like punching the waves and I'm screaming like to the ocean, letting it to the ocean. And I have the feeling that I'm bringing it back to flow. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a singer yet.
Yes, you are. You're a beautiful singer. I love to sing with you.
It's so beautiful in Shanti's face how Jack was like in the kirtans, like always hearing that I was creating a second voice and then saying, Julia should have a microphone. And suddenly I became this little background singer there when I'm not playing violin and I'm singing. I'm very excited to explore the voice also more with you.
Yeah.
And interestingly, for me personally, that's also very vulnerable to say, and I still don't know exactly why. I have a feeling that it could be connected to some kind of secret that my mom once told me about herself when I was a kid. I think I was around 12 years old, and she was telling me, don't tell anyone. And I felt so upset for her that I really wanted to tell my friend. I saw my best friend in the afternoon, and she was driving me there, and she was saying, yeah, don't tell your friend, like it's a secret. And I remember that I can imagine that this is why I still sometimes feel blockages, not necessarily singing or speaking. It's just an energetical thing. Mm-hmm. And all the like energy people that I've been working with, they always say, you're like your chakras are really, really aligned. It's just in this one that it feels a bit empty sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the feeling, I'm saying this right now, I'm sharing this, it feels very vulnerable somehow, but I also say this because I have the feeling that
it's like a collective thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not necessarily connected to that story with my mom. Maybe it's also like, we were speaking about this earlier, right? In school, that we have to raise our hand to be able to speak, and that we were taught to only say specific things with specific people in specific moments. Mm-hmm. That's part of our education of shaping us to live in society, which I'm not saying is good or bad. Like, it's there needs to be some consent, right? To live in a society. But I wonder how we can improve there in humanity, you know, so that people can express themselves more freely.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful question. And like I said to you before, we all have a block in our throat chakra, all of humanity, because of our education, because of the way we are raised, also because of our mothers were hiding secrets from us. Mm-hmm. They may have gone through experiences that they never share with us because they have their own shame about their life and what they did, what they didn't do. So a lot of women, and I also have that story, we carry that. You know, there's something there, but there's not a real depth or an honesty or an openness, because there's so much shame around so many of these experiences that we have just been talking about.
Yeah.
When it comes to losing a child, when it comes to abortion, when it comes to our sexuality, when it comes to all these topics.
Yeah.
There's it's such a huge gray area that we don't vocalize it as women.
Yeah.
Even with our best friends, sometimes we don't even say.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really from good intentions. I mean, in my case, I wanted to protect my mom and I wanted to be loyal to her, you know, so you don't express it.
And I think, and I can relate to that myself, but also that's her journey, and I and I want to protect her, but I will do differently. I can choose to do differently.
Exactly.
And if I will have a daughter, maybe I'm blessed enough, I will be able to share with her all my story, you know, and she can hopefully learn from that.
Let's invite her in the retreat.
Let's see. But yeah, it's like, even, you know, in the simple things, if you would ask someone, how are you? I'm fine. I'm good. There's almost nobody that says, like, you would ask them, how are you? And you'd be like, how am I? Yeah, just taking a moment.
Really asking the heart.
Really asking, being really authentic. Like,
not just asking the mind.
Because, today I feel lightness, or I just experienced a trigger and it's still lingering in my being. You know, we don't have to tell our whole life story, but we can be we can be authentic.
Exactly.
We can be real. We can say, wow, I feel slightly overwhelmed.
I feel moved also, right?
I feel moved. I feel super light, super peaceful today. Very peaceful, very, you know, full of love. It changes our being. Our states are always changing, and it's not, we shouldn't attach ourselves to these changing states, because the real essence goes beyond the emotion and whatever is changing, but it is authentic to express it.
Yeah. And not just to be functional all the time. I think, I mean, obviously society wants us to be functional. That's why people say, I'm doing good. Because if I tell my boss, like, I'm moved, and I'm like, he would probably think, oh, this woman is not functional today.
Yeah, finding the right spaces and the places, obviously. But I think we can start to develop more culture around that.
For sure. Even in business surroundings, I think it can be very helpful, you know, because it's all about how can we make this work?
Yeah.
Not necessarily only for business, but also in a relationship, in within friends. Like, how can we improve as humanity? How can we support each other? And how can we make this all work, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, some friends you'll see and there's still this thing, but you never speak about it. And it's like this cloud and you're like, but it's so awkward right now. Yeah. And nobody's saying the thing. And like,
it's just, you feel really it, but somehow
We don't express.
If we don't express, and sometimes it's also okay not to express. In my wild permission retreat in the first week of January, we were doing this, all these wild permissions, like giving to each other permission, giving to yourself permission, and setting the intentions for the year. It was very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I was at some point giving this collective permission to the group to say, I don't feel it, is like, saying I don't feel it is like a completely valid excuse. If you don't want to show up to class, if you don't want to do a certain thing, if you don't want to be in a conversation in that moment. I was saying that in the beginning of the retreat to also set the tone for people, to give them wide permission to do whatever they feel like, because I feel this big disconnect. And then people pleasing that gets along with it, right? That comes along with it, like thinking that I have to do this because otherwise the person probably don't like me anymore or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever the story is that we're telling ourselves, that is necessarily not listening to love, but listening to all the other voices that are around.
Mm. There is definitely a sort of a movement coming around, you know, checking in with our feeling state and seeing if it feels aligned or more. But at the same time, sometimes we have to push ourselves a little bit, you know, and we have to kind of show up in those places where we maybe don't feel it. But the deeper calling of the soul is saying, go.
Yeah.
Because if we just live by feeling, we're not 100% in our truth.
Well, probably we would have ice cream.
We just
chill at the beach, no?
Yeah. Oh, no, I feel like going to the beach, or now I feel like la la la. So it's all up in the air.
Of course.
And there's no anchor.
Yeah.
That's why I always come back to this place. And I keep saying it, whatever. Of course, we go through all these states, but there is a deeper truth that is an anchor.
Yeah.
And you know it. When you start to go deeper and deeper into your practice, which connects you with this eternal truth, with this wholeness, with this wow, it's beyond words. You cannot give words to this. And that guides you. And that is pulling you.
That is,
and
also dharma, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes you have to wake up and go and do the thing. You're like, oh, in my head, I really feel so much resistance, but my solar plexus is like, go.
Go, and that's what we said we want to work with also in the retreat, right? Reconnecting to what you really, really want on a deeper level, which is much more than feeling things in the moment or not feeling them in the moment.
Yeah.
Connecting to purpose, connecting to dharma.
Opening the third eye, see your vision, visualize it,
pursue it,
and go. And go, because there's more than you. There is the world. There is humanity. And this is what's really important. More than your stories. More than your, oh, I feel that. No, we have humanity. We have the entire world here.
And I felt that so aligned the other day when we were singing the Lakshmi mantra together.
Yes.
Lakshya means clear direction also.
Clear.
And that's also what Lakshmi wants, right? This, all this overflow of possibilities and wealth, all that comes with also a clear direction, a clear purpose in a way, in pursuing that.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was saying that I don't feel it in the moment is like reconnecting people to their feeling and also to their expression, because sometimes we are so blocked that we think we need the perfect permission or the perfect excuse to do or not do a certain thing. And I think in that retreat, but that's a whole other topic, was about unlocking and unblocking all these kind of things.
Yeah.
Which felt really, really healing and powerful. In a way.
Yeah. And it's just good to bring awareness to which voice is speaking to you. So is it the voice of your truth, of your intuition that is making this decision? Or is it your ego saying, don't do the thing because I'm too tired, or I can't, or I have some fear? You know? So it's really being aware which voice is moving you and which voice you're guided by.
And that's also something that starts to naturally come when you open the throat chakra. It's not just the voice of your expression, but it's that inner voice that you start to connect with and you start to see, okay, this one is the true one. This one is going to evolve my spiritual journey and who I am here as a human being.
Yeah, it's that voice that lives in the heart. Connecting to the heart. I have been doing such beautiful practices that I can't wait to share. So like speaking to the heart, listening to the heart, as you said, like listening to the womb, but also writing a letter to my own heart.
Yeah.
I think that was also once that was a very powerful step that I did. It was also connected to purpose and all these kind of things. Writing a letter to my own heart, and it's longing. It's expression. How does it want to express itself in that world? Yeah. And there's no coincidence why the heart chakra is like right next to the throat chakra.
Yes. So deeply connected.
Yes. What I mean, I wanted to create this retreat and this work for so long.
Yeah.
Like since so many years. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been waiting for you.
So grateful. Yeah, so grateful.
I think
to,
I've been really waiting for you to do this together.
To go on this journey. It's really, really special.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting that when you make an intention, which is the most important part of this work, is when you start to make an intention for something and it's connected to the heart. Naturally, what's happening now is that slowly those doors are beginning to open that are in that frequency.
Yes. Right?
They are all in this just pure love, and everything that's connected to love for self, loving yourself is easy to say, but to really hold that.
Yeah.
In your being is like, wow, I can say this. I love who I am. I love who I am. And then that love for everybody that's going to come, and that honor of receiving people in such a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. Like, how crazy is that, you know? The people that are coming to be there, and then how that is going to ripple out because it's really... Wow.
Yeah.
When we heal collectively these things,
wow. Yeah.
It's so, so powerful. It's so powerful. It's so necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, so necessary.
Yeah.
Right now to come back.
To come back to the heart. Yes. I think it's also then all these questions of, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Escaping the reason why your soul wanted to come here in this moment. Sometimes we really, all of us want to, no matter how deeply you are rooted in your spiritual practice, I think all of us sometimes get this challenge, and the universe is challenging us on purpose to escape the Dharma. Sometimes we're like, no, today I'm feeling lazy or whatever. Like, I don't want to do this podcast recording right now, because we try to escape. The ego wants to try to escape the Dharma, the task. But everybody, no matter if you call yourself a spiritual person or not, everybody's put here for a reason. All of us have a spirit. That's why all of us are spiritual, even if we don't call each other spiritual, or even if we wouldn't call ourselves spiritual. And so we have something to fulfill here in this life. Our soul didn't come here with no plan. It came here because it wanted to fulfill something. And we become so disconnected from that, because we can become so disconnected from our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in these moments, when I feel that my spirit or what it is, maybe it's my ego that wants to pull me out of it, I really try to connect. And I was saying in the beginning that I was losing my grandfather, who felt like a father to me. And he was one of these people. He would never say that he is a spiritual person. He didn't necessarily have a spiritual practice, not visible, at least. But he was so connected. And in his Dharma, he was a teacher and then helping everyone, like with all his powers, like always giving, 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 but not expecting anything in return. And he was very content with what he had. And yeah, it's such an inspiration as a person. And the things that he was creating, he was always thinking in a bigger picture, creating trainings for teachers in different corners of the world where they wouldn't have access to all the things that they would need to create or to show in physical lessons, to show how the light breaks, but he would show that on a glass of water, you know?
Mm.
So how the little rainbow rays are created. And you don't wow. need always these fancy, super expensive material to show that. And he was creating trainings for teachers in that sense, you know, and he just really enjoyed it. And he was not always thinking of what can I get, but he was always like in that
sharing
of what can I give,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Which really inspired me so deeply. And he was like one of my biggest spiritual teachers, even if he was not saying and claiming himself that, you know?
Yeah.
And in a way, when he passed away so terribly during the pandemic, it was so hard on my heart. Really, it was such a loss. It felt like such a loss. And somehow the gift that came with it, as you said, you're really grateful for it. What I'm grateful for is that I knew him that well, that we have spent so much time together. He has helped me basically whenever I was moving. And so like when I was moving houses, like, and we have spent like joyful moments together, going on holiday together. He built a sailing boat. And once we went there for like 1 month with his wife, with my grandma, and we, the three of us. So I knew him so well that I knew whenever I have a question, I can spiritually connect to his essence and just ask the question. And I know him that well that I connect to my heart, and then I connect up, and then I hear his voice. Like that's also so powerful. It's the voice that I hear. And I hear his deep grounding voice, grandfather voice. You can picture him like with a big beard, you know? And I hear his voice, and he's so aligned what he tells me. It's always like a short message. Like it's like if I have a decision to make, is it this or that path? And I'm not sure. So often I ask his spirit, and now it's even stronger that he's not here in his physical form anymore. For me, it's really this gift of maybe he's even more wise now. Wherever he is right now, I receive the voice, and I can hear that. I think that's also because I knew him so well. So for me, that for everybody who's listening to that now, and no matter how you can resonate with it or not, but really nourish your connections. That's really the message that I want to give you now, because I think I'm able to connect to him in that way because I know him so well also. And like really sometimes it's about like we think it's about knowing so many people and being everywhere. But like I am so happy that our retreat, it's going to be this small container that's with like a smaller group of people, and then nourishing these connections. Because that's also really nourishing for the heart to have like a few people that you really hold dear and that you can rely on. Right?
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing.
That was a longer share.
So beautiful. No, and it really reminds me also, what is grief? You know, ultimately, it's love. Because he loved. How amazing that you had this being in your life that was so inspirational to you and you loved so much. It's such a blessing when you look at that way, that you are able to experience such a loss, because it was just behind that, this just because you love this being so much. You know, it's love. It's love. It's love. Grief is love. Love is grief. It's the same energy. It opens. It's the heart. Like it's the heart. It's alive. It's the heart alive and awake. That is what grief is. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to grieve if there wouldn't be the love in the first place, right?
And that you are able to say, like, I connected with him beyond his physical form, you know? There's so much power in that.
because I think a lot of people, they don't have that they fear this connection, or they don't have that connection, mm-hmm. or it's something way beyond they can probably yeah. ever imagine to be true, right? Mm-hmm. And for someone like myself, who's grown up with ideas around reincarnation mm-hmm. and the soul, to be able to communicate in these like more subtle dimensions of mm-hmm. energy, it's so beautiful. It's so and it's there. Yeah. It's such a gift. Mm-hmm. And again, people, how can I access that? How do I know if that's even real? Open your voice, because the voice is this direct connection with subtle realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's connecting with spirit and mm-hmm. with this. It's like the upper chakras, right? Mm-hmm. Once this begins to open, you receive, you can hear the voices, you can start to, maybe through sensation, through even picking those tarot cards or
yeah.
seeing certain signs, but you're in this field.
Yeah.
And you know there's something beyond this matter, this physical thing. Yeah. Obviously, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful to be here grounded in this realm mm-hmm. whilst knowing there's so much moving in that as well.
Yeah.
And working for us and with us all the time.
All the time. And that comes also through ritual.
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes it's really important to do a ritual if it's after a relationship, maybe a cord cutting ritual also, or any other kind of ritual. Just right now, I think we are moving towards the end of our conversation, but it's really important for me to also bring that into the conversation as well. I have a friend who intentionally ended a pregnancy because of circumstances, and you can judge that, but I have the feeling that it was the right decision because it was so sure
mm-hmm.
in that case, in a way. Yeah. And sometimes it's even not so sure. And that can also be, I think there's also like a lot of judgment about right or wrong decisions and a lot of shame around it also. Just as I'm so grateful that you opened so much of speaking so honestly about your experience as well, because it's just so much shame about losing a child. And in the case of my friend, it was so beautiful because she told me that she did this kind of ritual to really say goodbye and apologies to this soul, and saying that she's not ready right now in these circumstances to receive her here on mm-hmm. earth
mm-hmm.
and that she can come back another time, that the soul can come back another time. Or find other parents that are yeah. more ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting goosebumps by saying this because, yeah, I feel like it's a way of finding peace mm-hmm. and making peace with a soul that you cannot welcome right now. And it's the same. It's also a loss. It's a deep loss. And it was a lot of grieving that she went in. And I think it's important to mention that,
to communicate
well.
With yeah. With the soul of this being that mm-hmm. wanted to come. Mm-hmm. In the traditions that I study, the soul is completely there at 12 weeks, which they say. That's why they say don't share anything with anyone up to 12 weeks, whatever it is. Everything, if it's a
because
new
it's
project,
only needs 12 weeks to arrive.
It needs 12 weeks to fully mm-hmm. be there.
Mm-hmm.
In the so up to these like 3 months, mm-hmm. then after it's final. You're mm-hmm. gonna.
It's interesting because the physical
baby.
Body also needs around
yeah.
3 months to.
Yeah.
To become more solid, right?
So it was for me. Yes, I communicate with the soul. Also, and I wrote a letter mm-hmm. and I thanked the soul for coming and mm-hmm. teaching me and showing me. But more importantly, it was really for me about understanding my room
mm-hmm.
and my ancestry
mm-hmm.
and my lineage.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it brought me,
mm.
like really tapping into their what they carried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I grew up very fortunate
mm-hmm.
compared to them, you mm-hmm. know, compared to what they went through. I had a very blessed life in the Netherlands. So mm-hmm. I could have never known what they might have experienced mm-hmm. if I didn't have this mm-hmm. experience. So
yeah.
For me, it was really, wow, okay, I can now hold my mother,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother, and all the women mm-hmm. before me, and all the women that I get to work with, because naturally I receive so many women that want to work with their womb, that are going through abortion, that are experiencing all these type of things, right? So whatever we heal, we naturally are going to hold the space for other mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so beautiful also, because I couldn't go there with them otherwise if I didn't have that experience myself. So it's so crazy. Like one client call after the other was this deep release around these type of topics.
Mm.
And, you know, I can just connect at such deep levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So in that way, we all have our imprints that when we come,
are sure.
the journey of the soul that plays out its story. So it can bring through that darkness its light to the mm-hmm. world, right?
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of any pain, any grief, anything that we go through, is to see this bigger picture and understanding, wow, through that I can channel so much healing. I can bring so much light.
Mm.
I get so much inspiration for all these sounds and yeah. all these songs and all these practices that are now really embodied, you mm-hmm. know? So, yeah.
Wow.
I think
so good. Yeah.
We're 1 hour already. I could go on.
Yes, we could go on forever.
I love talking to you.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm. I think that would be the beautiful closing of the healing heart, really the intention also.
Yeah, and whatever it is then, to really find peace and allow the heart to heal. I think it's constantly healing in a mm-hmm. way, and in the way of when I was having this physical experience of heart, like this crazy first super crazy heartbreak in my life, I remember there was a friend of mine like holding me tight, and I was saying, yeah, please hold me so tight, because I was crying crazily, and I had this feeling, I was telling her, I have the feeling that my heart, now I understand this picture of this ripped heart, you know, mm-hmm. this broken heart, because I had this feeling that my whole body was a physical experience, was like ripped apart.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I have this feeling that little by little, starting to do this healing work. You know, these Japanese vases that you put back together, and then you have these
kintsugi.
Gold in between. Yeah, exactly.
Kintsugi. I wrote a song about that.
Wow, we need to share that. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's so
yeah.
crazy. And yeah, so having this experience of, now I feel like my heart is even more precious and bigger and so much more wise than mm. before. So I also really see it
yeah.
as a gift, and whatever ritual it needs to integrate, right? I think that's
yeah.
also why we created this container in a way of having inviting ceremonial practices as well.
Yeah.
And whatever ceremony or ritual it needs for the person. And I think that can be very individual. Sometimes it can be a letter. Sometimes it can be
yeah.
Any kind of other ritual. I remember my sister, she wrote a song to my grandfather, you know, and then connecting in her own ritual, like singing the song over and over again, which is like a continuous ritual in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. All of us, we have our different ways of expressing.
Yeah.
Which we will explore, like individual ways of expressing.
Yeah. Yeah. That again, this is such a, when we start in this small group to bring simply that culture back of how do I allow myself to go through these moments
mm-hmm.
that are shaping your reality mm-hmm. in such painful ways, like, but how can you actually move through, like,
yes.
and offering the right tools that work for you,
yeah,
because ultimately yeah, it's journaling, breath, and allowing source to come and move through and cleanse and mm-hmm. really this is the main thing, is connect. And through that connection, naturally, it will dissolve. You dissolve also.
Yeah.
And it's so direct with the voice. This so direct, so clear.
It is so clear. It's so That's clear. True. As I said the other day, remember when I said that my grandmother was telling me these things when she was growing up on the farm, and the toilet was outside of the farm, and whenever she was going there in the night, in the middle of the night, she was constantly singing. Yeah. And then she explained to me very early on that you cannot be afraid and sing at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I think by saying this story, all of the questions of listen to love are answered, no? Like, yeah. How can we connect to the voice? How can we connect to the love through the voice? That's what I wanted to say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and bringing those cultures back, you can see them in Hawaii, you know, they have this beautiful grief ceremony in Western mysticism. They have, like, in Jewish cultures, they have a mourning process of 7 days where they just sit with the family, where they just cry, they're just held, you know. Even in India, you know, when someone dies, there is such ritual. There is so much ritual around these quite traumatic moment. So what you said before, yeah, and bring it back in this modern day world,
yeah,
together, create culture around ritual and holding each other there in the expression, in the emotion, in the feeling, and then allowing the light, source, God, whatever you want to enter you again.
Yeah. No matter where you are and what you do and with whom, just practice, you know, connect to, take this as an inspiration. If you don't make it to our retreat, that's totally fine. But hopefully you can take a lot of what you just heard into your life, into your experience in this life and make it nourishing, make it fulfilling, and it hopefully brings a lot of ease and peace to your life.
Yes.
Can't wait to...
No, you're not alone.
Yes,
you have so much support all the time around you, with you. And yeah, I think this is also very important to know as any human being. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone, you know?
Yeah.
Creating culture around being together, asking support. Really, really important. Yeah.
Yes, as our friend Sam Garrett says, one heart, one mind, one family.
One heart, yes.
And it's so funny right now when you were saying this, I was about to say the same thing. I said, I can't wait to be together in this group also.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Like last night when we were together with the girls, it's just so nourishing. And bring so much light and laughter to share everything, to share the moments.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for this conversation. I have one last question that I ask all my podcast guests. It's funny to say guest when I'm sitting on your sofa, but never mind.
And I'm pretty much your best friend, but anyway, today I'm your guest
too. Exactly. So this question is, what would you send out in a message that is sent to all the phones all around the world in a push message? So have you ever received this kind of messages? It's like an SMS that is very short, that would come, like, if there is I received that once in Portugal when I was back, like water coming and you couldn't park your car in certain areas of Lisbon. But that would be like a worldwide message. So what would you send out this message? Right now, I mean, could be a different message tomorrow.
Right now, wow, this is some things that are coming to me, but I would send one of those crazy metaphysical prayers that I do,
and just send them to everyone and see if it will light up the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you quote them now?
Yeah, I can say it.
Okay.
Yeah. Loud if you want.
Yes.
It's the language of abracadabra,
mm-hmm.
as I speak, so do I create. So it's Aramaic, it's ancient Aramaic. You could almost sense it to be close to, if you have watched Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like this.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. you can close your eyes, take a deep breath and release through the mouth. Feel a connection from the base of your spine all the way upwards to the crown. And you can start to visualize that you are connecting to the tree of life reality. All your branches connect to all the entire world, every human being, all of creation. You're part of this oneness through this prayer. Ana bekoach, ketulat yaminecha, tatir tserura. Kabel rinat, amcha sakveinu, tahareinu nora. Na gibor doshe yichutecha kevavat shumrem. Barchem taharem rachamei tzidkatecha tamid gomlem. Chasin kadosh berov tufcha nahel adatecha. Yachid ge'el amcha pene sochrei kedushatecha. Shavatenu kabel ushma tzaketenu yudeya tanamot. And so it is.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. And I really hope that you could take a lot from this conversation. If you feel like this is for someone that it could enrich their lives, feel free to share it. Feel free to send it to your friends, to your family. And if you feel the call to join us in Portugal in the end of August, 20 to 25 of August, just reach out. You find all the information in the link in the bio at UP Yoga and also through Rachel Singh at rachel.singh on Instagram. And we are very happy to receive feedback. If you want to send us how this landed with you, if you want to have a conversation about it, just reach out. We are very excited to hear from it. If you want to listen to love even more, just hit the subscribe button, I guess. And yeah, take care and listen to love.